Hey everyone, welcome to your podcast. This is episode number 27. Mike, welcome to your podcast.
Good morning, and everybody, welcome to this week's edition of your podcast. We got all kinds of cool stuff lined up here.
So the big news, of course, last week, Mike, was the Edison Triton Infinite Dial report came out.
Yeah, it was an interesting presentation as well. Got to see Tom in a tuxedo, so that was always fun.
Well, that's always I guess he dressed for the occasion. Of course, it was celebrating a big event there. So I think it was like, didn't they have a anniversary 10th? Isn't this like the 10th report or something like that? Or was
something
that the reason?
Like, or that, yeah, or 20th. Yeah. I forget what the deal was, but he had it all set up as an award show, him and the other guy from Triton. And it was a great presentation. You know, normally it's just a screen share thing, so he got dressed up, and so it was nice, and the information was good.
Yeah, it looks like, as we already knew, the space continues to grow. And, that's always encouraging. But I think one thing I saw on that report, and it was in regards to Facebook usage is down, but the podcasting portion of it looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah. The podcasting portion, 44% of Americans have listened to an audiobook, and they made that correlation with podcasts as well. That 44% of Americans have listened to a podcast, and that's right. Up from, whatever it was, but that's always going up. But the thing that really got me was 29% of the people that they talk to don't own an AM/FM radio.
Oh.
Now, what is up with that? I mean, radio is... Is in trouble if this is a representation of the entire audio space. No wonder they're scrambling to get on digital.
Well, the only place I own an AM/FM radio now is in my car. We may have one still around here somewhere. Actually, in all honesty, I probably should have one for natural disasters, but I don't know. Just never. I don't listen to radio, so we don't have one in the house.
Yeah, see, I'm a ham radio operator, and on top of that, I've got a couple of big old Zenith shortwaves that do FM too. So
right.
I do listen to radio a bit.
Yeah. Well, I think though that it's a sign of the times, and if you watch teenagers these days, or any young adult, they're all they're all plugged into their mobile devices. They're not. They're not listening to anything that has radio.
Right, exactly. And, we have them in the car, but, that's disappearing.
Right.
There are cars out there, famously Scion, before they went out of business or got absorbed back into Toyota, Scion, most of their cars didn't have AM/FM radios. They just had a way to plug your phone in.
Yep. Well, smart speakers are up. And as well, the Amazon Google device, 71 and 56% respectively, compared to 57 and 45. And to be honest with you, I thought the Amazon number would be a little higher, but I guess it probably makes sense. Some folks are probably in areas that don't have really good connectivity and maybe can't take an advantage of it, but still pretty good penetration on smart speakers.
Oh, yeah, and that's how I listen to radio, if I listen to traditional radio at all. It's through, either the Google Home or the Amazon speaker. I don't have one of the Apple ones yet, but...
Well, actually, I was mistaken. It was awareness. The actual ownership is a little bit lower. The actual ownership is only 18%. Somehow, I seem that number feels low to me, but... but still, even compared to last year, that number's up from 7 to 18%, a nice jump, 11% over a year. So I guess we'll see what happens with the smart speakers. I know everyone's pretty excited about and have been talking about our MiCast skill that we've added to the Amazon device. But, if we went a little bit deeper into the podcast data itself, the number of listeners monthly is up. The number of people listening to shows is up. It's really across the board Yeah. And the numbers look pretty good.
Podcasting is still, you know, on its slow but steady growth. You know, it's not a hockey stick, but it's good. It's, you know, we're seeing it here at Blueberry. You know, just the amount of new shows that are coming on board is steadily increasing.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's awesome.
So anyway, we'll have the link to the Infinite Dial, full 66 pages of slides that you can take a look at up in the show notes for you. So definitely take a peek of that. And that way you can dig in. But, oh my goodness, finally, we have started to see life. Our first round of podcasts submitted to Spotify are starting to show up.
Yes, I discovered that yesterday, that some of the podcasts that we had on our list are now on Spotify. Not all of them. This show is not there yet, as of this recording anyway. It may be by the time you listen to it. But yeah, so that's good news for our podcasters. So don't worry, it is happening.
And it's, I was talking with someone yesterday. I don't think I've ever seen such a fevered pitch of freaking out about being on Spotify. I mean, it is slamming our support ticket lines. Why? How come? When? So I just encourage everyone, please just breathe. It's coming. They just don't work at the same speed that the rest of the podcasting space works at.
No, they're unique, you know, in podcasting, as far as, you know, they're a music service. They're not super experienced yet in the podcasting world, so they're not fast about it. And they, you know, they're doing a good thing, and you know, it's good to be there, but you know, it's not going to make or break your show to be on Spotify or not on Spotify.
You know, I kind of get the feeling, and this is a little bit of my speculation, is that they're listening to every show. So they're, you know, they're qualifying each show, and then they're adding it. Otherwise things would be going much faster. There's just no other explanation for it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're not, you know, not sure why it's taking the time that it's taking, but it is now happening. So, you know, again, you know, just keep in mind it's just another place, and that it's, you know, it's great to be there, but it's not the end of the world. See, I have a little video I always like to show people whenever they talk about, you know, they're celebrating getting on whatever platform. Do you remember the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin?
Yeah, that's, now that you're dating yourself, Mike,
But there's a scene there where he first gets the phone book that has his name listed in it, and he's super excited about it. I love playing that scene because it's the same thing, you know.
You know, and also too is that, you know, you're going to have to get your link and start promoting it once you're in there, but you know, we still haven't received the API data for stats. So I'm sure that's going to be the next thing, is the, you know, where's my stats? And, you know, we're still waiting on them just to give us the programming API to start coding it, to implement it. So everyone just be calm. It's coming. We can only do what we can do at the speed we can do based upon the information we've been provided.
Yep. And like I said, once you're there, you are there. And we will add that to PowerPress at some point in the destination. So you'll be able to put a link there and have a button on your website. You know, so when you're promoting your podcast, you still send everybody to your website.
Yep, you send them back to your .com, and then they choose the platform upon which they want to listen to you. One thing that's good is Angela's working on a release of PowerPress. So we'll hopefully we'll have one out here in the next shouldn't even say, but in short order.
Yeah.
So let's you got some puppies in the background there, yeah?
Yes, I have I foster beagles, so this is totally off subject, but for one of the beagle rescues, and I happen to have a new foster here that if I put him upstairs in the cage, he'll just howl and howl and howl, and you'll still hear it on the mic. So he's down here, you know, whining. But
you know, beagles howling is not the way you want to spend your sleeping hours or even in-house hours. No, 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 no.
No, especially when you're trying to record a podcast. They're worse than kids.
That's right. So 3 weeks from now, we'll be in Vegas for the National Association of Broadcasters, or better known as the NAB show. And we're prepping everything. We're going to have literature. We're going to have swag. We've got a new backdrop. Yeah, it's all coming together here. And we're going to be in the booth like 10 hours a day.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're bringing enough people. We could do it in shifts if we have to. Yeah. So.
yeah. We can swap out. And that's, I think that will be the plan of the day. And I've got meetings already scheduled. So things are going to be just going to be crazy. But it always is at that show, just like any other convention. You're there for a short period of time, getting a lot of business done. But if you're in, or about, or want to come out to Las Vegas and actually come to the NAB show, and in the show notes today, we'll have a link on how you can get an exhibit floor only ticket. And believe it or not, that's the way to do it. Go just do the exhibit floor, and you can come see the podcasting pavilion, and visit all the different vendors. You can go talk to your favorite microphone vendor, or wireless, or mixer, or everyone that is providing or has available products and services for the podcasting space is at NAB. There's like 3,000 vendors.
Oh yeah. So it's unbelievably huge.
And it's worth it to just go and see how radio and broadcast work. Your mind will be blown, to be honest with you. So it's a good show. If you have time to come out for a couple of days to come to Vegas, tickets to Vegas are cheap. Can't say the hotels are going to be cheap. Matter of fact, hotels are going to be hard to find. So you may have to do an Airbnb or something. But consider coming out to the NAB show and just have a little vacation and have a little fun at the same time, or a little education at the same time.
Yeah, we were out there last year, you and I, Todd, just as attendees. Of course, you've been to it several times. I've been to it several times. It's a great show. It's unbelievably huge. And if you can think of it in the broadcast, podcast, news gathering, whatever genre, somebody there is going to have what you're looking for.
That's a fact. Absolutely a fact. And if you're doing live streaming, it's all there. You know, so that for me, it's like the trip to trip to the Holy Land or something. It's like a big, it's got everything awesome. So let's switch gears here a little bit. You've got a topic down, podcast discovery. This has been coming up in other podcasts I do lately. So you want to talk a little bit about podcast discovery?
Yeah, well, I keep hearing from a lot of people, podcast discovery is a problem. You know, it's a problem. You know, people aren't finding podcasts, and it's simply not true. What it is they're complaining about people aren't finding your podcast, or their podcast. You know what I mean? It's not that podcasts in general are hard to find. They're easy to find. But finding your particular podcast, that's a marketing thing. That's not a discovery problem. We don't need a new system of discovery. I mean, that's what Google search is for. That's what DuckDuckGo search is for, to a lesser extent, some of the apps, have good search engines for podcasts. Yep. So, it was just a quick little thing I thought might be interesting to talk to people about.
And if you think about it, if you think about the latest podcast that you're subscribed to, how did you hear about those? Did you hear about them from a friend, Facebook group? That's how I discover a lot of new shows. Someone says, man, you need to listen to this new podcast. Now, I'm a little bit different because of what I do here. I listen to about 100 new shows every 2 weeks. And, I have a core that I keep. But I still, because I just go through and sample a lot of podcasts, and I might only listen to, one of those shows like for 10 minutes. I don't spend a lot of time unless I'm intrigued I don't spend a lot of time on one of those 100. So it's for me just to get an idea of what the content is. But, you know, I'm not normal. You know, this is because I'm a podcast company owner. So the really what we're boiling down to here is if you think about how you found your last podcast. And again, you know, I go back to my model for my podcast is that Google is incredibly important to my show. You know, I have a huge amount of organic traffic that comes in from Google search. So we'll see. You know, I think many of you are not doing what you need to do in your show notes or on your websites to make your websites Google friendly. So you need to work on that. You need to, you know, you write for Google and you create your podcast for your listeners. You know, your blog post is for Google. Just remember that. Mike, right. anything to add?
Right. And that's the thing, you know, you're going to find, you know, like if I want to listen to a podcast, say, you know, I wanted to listen to some, you know, a podcast about aviation, I'm not going to go to Apple and then search for aviation. I'm going to go on Google and I'm going to say, hey, you know, I want to learn about flying gliders. And I'm going to find web pages and I'm going to find podcasts and I'm going to find, you know, everything about that topic.
Yeah, I'm going to do a flying glider podcast search.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess I could go to Apple, go to the Apple Podcasts app, but, you know, that search is notoriously bad. Also, what I'll do is I'll ask my friends, you know, if I'm into some particular thing, like, you know, in my case, ham radio, you know, if I want to listen to a ham radio podcast, I'm going to ask my, you know, buddies that are hams, hey, what podcast do you listen to?
Right.
About ham radio. And, you know, that's how I'm going to find podcasts. And there's not really a discovery problem so much as there is, you know, just a marketing problem for individual podcasters. And it's not as big a problem, like I said, what we say here all the time. You know, write your blog post for Google, have a .com or at least, you know, any domain that's yours and promote the hell out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And make sure in your show, you're not telling them to go to iTunes to subscribe. You're telling them to come to your website to subscribe. So exactly. We keep hammering that and hopefully that gets through. And I know we've got a number of listeners to this show now. So I think you guys have got the message. Let's talk about the Amazon device, Google Home, Apple HomePod, Cortana, all those on how perfect they are in interpreting exactly what you're saying to them.
Right. Yeah, because I get into these discussions with people. See, you set one off.
Yeah, I think. I did. I didn't even say "hey" keyword, and it set off. Yeah.
Anyway, what's funny is you know, a lot of these people that are doing podcasts, and I hate to pick on the entrepreneur types, but they're going to have these big, long, complicated keyword stuff titles of their podcast.
Yeah, and doesn't bode well
and then trying to find your podcast on, you know, the Echo device or any other, you know, using MyCast or using TuneIn, you know, with the other speakers and or whatever. Yeah, you're going to have to recite that whole thing to make sure that you find it.
Yeah, so, you know, when you what we have found is that, and we're looking into it to see if we can help the situation, but if the show is called the Windows Web Tablet Mobile Phone Drive Edition, if that's the name of the podcast, okay, I'm not saying that's what it is. Right. But you have to say that exactly to the device. Play, and then, you know, say the show name. And then, you know, sometimes these devices have trouble even understanding what you're saying to them. So it's not perfect. They don't. Have you ever used the voice to text? I use it a lot and it drives me crazy because it'll be one word that'll get hung up. And invariably I'll have to go in and text edit it to make it right, because it just won't understand one word I'm telling it. And it's not surprising. I slaughter the English language all the time. So they're just picky. Yeah. And since we introduced our MyCast skill on the Amazon smart home speaker, we've gotten a few shows that have said, I can't. And I'll say the command and the show will play. But then there's some shows I'll say the show name five times and finally it'll pick it. Now that's not the experience that anyone's looking for.
No.
So, you know, there's not a lot we can do here. We're trying, but the devices are really, really, really sensitive.
And, you know, even before our MyCast skill, you know, a lot of podcasts were available on TuneIn.
Yep.
And, you know, your show, Todd, Geek News Central. The minute you said news, my Alexa device would go off and and start reading my news feed or reading my news thing. So you had to be really quick about it. You say Geek News. You couldn't just say Geek News Central.
Right.
So, you know, there's some practicality there, and they're getting better.
Try to get it to play your podcast, Mike. Impossible.
Exactly.
You say your podcast, and it starts playing some weird thing. So yeah.
Well, you know, we may just have to revisit the name of the show.
No, it's your podcast.
Exactly.
So anyway, so just be patient, and it's a work in progress. It is. And by the way, it's not artificial intelligence. It's assisted intelligence. So just, So let's talk about caching a little bit.
Yes. Caching is the bane of my existence because it's so hard for people to understand what caching is. And anyway, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it sometimes. We had a real brain twister the other day, and it was all due to some sort of caching. That, you know, we finally figured it out after, you know, having to call in the big guns to figure it out. But there's so much different caching, like your website. You know, if you have a website that has caching on it, what it is your website is holding or Cloudflare. That's another service that can cache your website, but it's holding a copy of it ready. So
it's in memory.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to generate it in the case of WordPress, and doesn't have to go out and find it on a hard drive somewhere. It's already in memory, so it serves it a lot faster. But the problem with that is if you make a change to your website and the cache hasn't been updated.
Flushed. They call it flushed, yeah.
Yep. Then the old version of your website's going to continue to be served for a while.
You know, in some web hosts don't even tell you there's caching. And what will happen is you'll update your website. And it'll all look all good to you because you basically are logged in as administrator and you load the page. Everything looks fine. But the second I come to your website after you publish, I still see the old version. And then what a lot of web host providers will do on a periodic basis, they flush the cache or they update. Some web host providers give the ability to do that yourself, but still, even after you push the button to flush the cache or clear the cache or erase the cache, whatever the command may be, then it could be as much as 5 minutes before that new data is recached into the system. And what it really does is it's a performance. It helps with what it's a great thing. Caching is fantastic.
Right.
If you understand what you're getting yourself into, because it'll increase the performance of your website tremendously.
Right. And, you know, that's, you know, one of the main ones that we have trouble with, you know, because you upload a new episode to your podcast and your podcast is running off of PowerPress on your website and that feed got cached. So the new episode didn't make it into that cached version of the feed right away.
Right.
And so that causes some delays in, you know, in all the podcatchers catching it or whatever. You know, and then there's other caching, like, you know, when our hosting server is on a CDN, a content delivery network, which means we have several servers around the world.
Well, not several, couple hundred.
Right, that's what I mean. But
yeah, so when you upload your file, it goes to the central repository, then it's pushed out to the caching cloud. Well, the edge. It goes out to the edge.
Right.
And then let's say you say, "Oops, I made a mistake, and I need to re-update." When you upload the file, it's not an instant replacement. It takes a little bit for that file to propagate throughout their system. So we can do it manually on our side. We can flush it, but it could take maybe as much as an hour, I think, right, for the file to replace across the system.
Yeah, something like an hour. And like I said, we can flush that manually for you if you need to replace a file. But that's just another form of caching. And I've got a few more on the list, just as, you know, go through it quick here. We're running a little long here. But there's browser caching. Your browser keeps copies of websites. So if you visited your website and then you've made a change to your website, it could be your browser has cached an old copy of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that freaks people out sometimes. So you gotta clear that as well. You know, it's called web history on most browsers, but
yeah, it
could be called cache. Another thing you can do is just open a incognito window or a private window, depending on your browser. They all have it now. And, that bypasses the local caching.
And then there's feed caching, like FeedBurner, Podcast Mirror. So there's that. Then there's podcast directories that do a caching and don't update as fast. So it's, And of course, there's check caching too, right?
Yeah. That's on the list. Yeah, don't go to those check caching places. Rip-off deal. Yeah. But, just know that, even though you've made a change, it isn't instantaneous that change gets to all the different directories and different places on the web. It takes some time.
And most places are doing that now. They're caching something. They have to. If they don't, they wouldn't be able to provide the service they do at the price that they provide it at.
Right. So, like I said, just to know, when you make changes to things, just, let it mellow for a little while. Because it's sometimes going to take a while before it gets everywhere.
Or flush the cache.
Or flush any caching that you have.
So I know you've got to hit some support stuff come up. And what is it? How? Please, everyone. When we educate podcasters, it's an MP3 file is the default standard for podcasting, not a WAV file. But let's talk about MP3 encoding.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll get a call from somebody or I'll get an email from somebody and they'll say, "Hey, I signed up for the 100 megabyte plan at Blueberry and I uploaded one podcast and I've already blew my limit." Well, I look at their 20-minute file and it's huge. They've encoded it at 320 kilobits per second MP3, or they've encoded it as a wave, or they didn't even encode it. They uploaded it as a wave. Those things are huge.
Yep.
So, when we estimate how much space you're going to need, when you go to our checkout page, there's a little estimate there. This plan's good for 1 hour podcast once a week or whatever it says on there. We're basing that on a 128 kilobit stereo bitrate. MP3.
And that's usually 1 meg a minute.
Yeah, 1 meg a minute. I used to say that 64 kilobits mono was good enough, but now with a lot of the directories now are requiring at least 96 kbps mono. So, keep that in mind when you encode. But, the trick is you don't want to upload an MP3 that's bigger than it needs to be because it's too big for people that are on cellular plans to download. Yeah. It takes up more space, takes up more bandwidth. If you're paying for bandwidth, if you're on like S3 or something where you're paying for bandwidth, that's going to cost you more. So, if you're with us, it doesn't. But
and also the sample rate needs to be 44,100. I saw someone promoting 44,400 the other day, and While that will work in a lot of places, if your media gets played anywhere where there's a flash player, you'll come out sounding like a chipmunk. So 44,100 is the key on that sample rate. And of course, then we can get into loudness specs and minus 16 LUFS for stereo, minus 21 LUFS for mono. But, you know, many of you maybe not familiar with that particular, what that actually means. But there's some tools out there you can use.
Yeah. The best one out there that I recommend is Auphonic. And you can do up to 2 hours free on the web version of it per month. And it's not that expensive to buy more time. But a lot of times, you know, it's cheaper just to buy the desktop version. I think it's like $80, something like that. And it's way to go. And, yeah, we got lots of other information I'll put in the show notes. Like I said, we're running long today, Todd.
Not too long. Yes, that happens.
But one thing I do want to mention, paid consultations. If you are not a hosting customer at Blueberry but still need help with all this stuff, we do offer paid consultations. So it's a good way to go. We do, you know, we know our stuff when it comes to PowerPress, and you don't absolutely have to host with us to use PowerPress. We kind of designed it that way. But if you run into a lot of trouble with that, I mean, we'll answer, you know, quickie questions, whatever, you know, about PowerPress. But if you really need us to dig in and troubleshoot something, we are available.
So just to give everyone a little frame of reference, Mike is nicotine free. So congratulations, Mike, for being nicotine free.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a little bit manic. But, you know, it's been a whole week now. It's not been too bad.
All right. Well, you are on the backside of withdrawals from nicotine. So congratulations. But hey, if you've got questions on this show or have comments, it's your podcast at blueberry.com. And love to hear from you. And of course, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. You can reach me at todd@blueberry.com. Mike?
You can reach me, mike@blueberry.com or support@blueberry.com if you need support off hours. I'm here, you know, weekdays, East Coast business hours plus a little, and we'll take care of you.
Well, thanks everyone for tuning into your podcast, and thanks for being part of the Blueberry family. And the newsletter came out yesterday, so make sure you look for that in your inbox. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time on your podcast.